Hi, everyone. I know it's been a while since I've addressed you in anything other than a written post. We haven't seen each other or talked to one another in what seems like a long time. It's over 2 months, which is both a long time and actually a short time as well. As most of you know, I have taken this break due to health issues. Things got bad at the end of September due to kidney issues, kidney stones to be exact. And that culminated in a surgery. And then the recovery of that was complicated by what I have euphemistically called a female problem, to spare you the details. Now, I'm still beset by pain and disability that does not yet have a diagnosis. I have never been disabled before. Certainly, I've been temporarily sick. I've even suffered through a broken foot that some of you may have remembered that had me teaching while I was wearing a peg leg device. So I've always just sort of pushed through and been able to show up. But this is different. This is not something I can push through because this pushes back in a way that cannot be ignored. As much as my symptoms complicate and put a hold on my life right now, and as much as they occupy all my waking hours, as much as they've put me into a sort of bus depot waiting for the connection back to the life I want to lead, I just don't want to talk about these issues with you right now. Because I want instead to talk to you about change and why we resist it and why it is hard to start a new habit or learn something new. Because we're approaching the end of our year, which for many of us is a time for renewal. Even if you don't have a New Year's resolution, you're at least familiar with that concept. Creatures of habit, that's what we are. We do what we do because we have done what we have done. It really is as simple as that. We like to think that newborn babies are this blank slate, but really, those infants, as new as they are, have already been learning in the womb. The nervous system begins to record information from the moment it's created. We are learning before we're born. Now, unlike other animals, our brain is less driven by our instinctual behaviors and more driven by what we learn in our lifetime. What is input into our neural structure is compared and contrasted with all the other things that are input. And those items that get input multiple times are given greater significance than those items which happen less often. A pattern of behavior is like creating a pathway in a field. The first time we walk the path between point A and point B, there's not really a path created. If we look behind us, we will likely not see much evidence that we even came that way. But when we walk between point A and B multiple times, eventually our footsteps will mark the way we've traveled. If we do it enough, we will create a recognizable path that will become a trail and eventually a road. And this is the same in our neurological space. When we make a connection between neurons by creating a certain behavior, either physical or mental, that connection becomes stronger and the neurons physically enlarge and move closer to one another in order to facilitate the connection. In the same way, when we stop going down that path in the woods, the space begins to grow over. And when we stop doing actions, the connections previously made in our neurons will begin to weaken and reduce in size and move further apart. So let's say we decide that something we're doing, a habit, is not likely to provide us with what we want. We decide that we want to extinguish this habit. The good news is that reducing or eliminating habits is very possible, but depending on the habit, it may take a while. Habits that have been a part of our life for long times, habits that have been reinforced with our reward system, dopamine, these are going to be bigger and more well-defined neural roads, and thus they're going to take longer and be more complicated to dismantle. It's very important that if we want to remove an unwanted habit, that we cease to do the thing. Anytime we do the habit, we reinforce that action in our lives, we reinforce that neural pathway. But if you've ever done this sort of cold turkey kind of retraining, you will know that giving up something you desire is a tough thing. You're going to want to do the thing, and you're going to feel withdrawal from abstaining from the thing. This is just as true as if it was some chemical, as if it is just an activity, because for the brain, it's all just chemicals. One way to reduce our resistance to breaking habits is to simultaneously begin a replacement activity to do instead of the habit. So instead of completely abstaining from X and just suffering the psychological and or physical withdrawal, you substitute Y in its place. For this kind of substitution to work the best, it really helps to make conscious associations between X and Y. So, for example, you could say to yourself, I will not eat this chunk of cake, and instead I will eat this tasty, tasty piece of fruit. Now, I know that as full-fledged adults, we're not fooled into thinking that cake equals fruit in the total enjoyment scale. Our taste buds know the difference. This is where focusing on the benefits of eating the fruit, improved health, better blood sugar levels, less cake frosting around our mouths. Or we can even make fantastic claims. We'll have a better car, more friends, greater wealth, because our nervous system is not going to know. So I suggest to you that if you're considering getting your act together at the top of the new year, perhaps it would be a helpful idea to plan what you want to change, strategize how to make good replacements for bad things, and consider how you're going to encourage yourself to continue to pursue this new you well into the new year. I really hope you're doing well. I hope your holidays will be filled with friends and family. I look forward to being with you again someday soon.